Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle Radio. Each week, the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in finance take you beyond the numbers and hype, right to the heart of the big issues of the day. Today, we have the second of two special editions of the programme on the theme of investing in women, breaking barriers in economics and empowering financial futures for all. Lucky listeners to the first instalment will be aware of UBS's interest in securing Nobel perspectives from laureates in the economic sciences. And they will surely have enjoyed hearing from the one and only Claudia Golden, only the third woman to win the prize for economic sciences and the first to claim the award solo, largely for her work on female participation in the economy. Thanks to a partnership between UBS and Monocle's sister publication Confect, the winter edition of which is out now, you can read more about Golden's work and passion for identifying and advocating solutions for a more equitable future. But in this second special edition of this programme, we're following up the foundations laid by Golden by hearing from two more of the talents featured on Confect's pages, the Addition Wealth founder, Anna Mahoney, and the business leader, Ronnie Anderson. Mahoney leads Addition Wealth and wants to unlock personal financial expertise and provide access to market knowledge. Anderson is a business leader with a wealth of diverse experiences to show women new paths to success. It's a great pleasure to welcome them both to the programme. We'll start with Anna Mahoney, founder and CEO of Addition Wealth. How did the Addition Wealth story begin?
When my mother divorced when she was 57, I realized how hard it is to plan for one's retirement. It was surprising to see how few tools and resources existed to facilitate working through a problem that everybody faces. And so I became focused on the challenge and worked in consumer finance in both the public and private sectors. Mm-hmm. After that, I went to Uber, where I worked for 6 years and witnessed the power of using technology to make things accessible to people that were previously unaffordable, like access to a private ride or the delivery of anything at your doorstep. And so after this experience and recognizing that the vast majority of individuals are still stressed about their finances and don't have access to traditional wealth and financial support models, I wanted to build a company that brought product technology and scaled marketplace solutions together to solve this problem. So that's how Addition was born. We bring personalized financial expertise to the masses.
So what was the landscape in the space like before? Anna Mahoney continues the story.
Traditional models tend to cater to individuals who are already wealthy. In the U.S., having on average $1 million of assets under management at a specific institution, and many women don't fit this category. It's part of the reason we built a model that is welcoming. Individuals can learn on their own. They can learn in group settings or directly one-on-one with a financial advisor. And there's no minimum amount of money that you need to have. We are just there to support people. We also believe it's important for individuals to choose their own journey, as working through one's finances, it's very personal. And so we provide those different paths that people can work through as they're solutioning through whatever's top of mind for them. We distribute through the employer channel, which means that employers pay Addition Wealth and we're a benefit for their employees. And we found this to be a hugely impactful partnership because we can configure the platform to include information about how one is paid from their employer, such as your benefits package, your retirement plan, any potential matches, equity compensation, or emergency assistance programs. And so by being able to pull in accurate, comprehensive information, it cuts out the noise and the work that an individual would have to do on a different platform. And it also enables that individual to make sure that that they can make the most out of all of the ways that their employer is paying them.
UBS's Female Founder Award celebrates visionary female founders, co-founders, and C-suite executives who are shaping the future of technology and redefining leadership in innovation. Anna was the well-deserved winner of the award in 2023.
It's an honor to have been selected for the UBS Female Founder Award alongside so many other accomplished finalists and female entrepreneurs in general. As a startup in the wealth tech and fintech space, it's fantastic to get to partner with the UBS team and learn valuable insights for our business. I'm also very grateful that UBS is investing time and resources to amplify the critical issue of supporting more early stage and frankly later stage female founders. Mm-hmm. Building a company from the ground up, it takes courage, grit, and a lot of hard work by many capable people. And so it's been really amazing to have the entire Edition Wealth team recognized for the award. I'm incredibly optimistic. Over the last 3 years, we've seen success with our product and testimonials that demonstrate that it's possible to build solutions that truly help the mass populations working through their financial needs. We're helping people get out of debt, buy their first home, save for their children's college, save for their retirement, and so many more things. So I'm personally energized by the impact we're having and excited that we're going to help millions of people achieve their financial goals.
Anna Mahoney, founder and CEO of Edition Wealth. Well, next up, let's turn to business leader Rania Anderson. She begins by explaining where her journey began.
It comes down to Marshall Goldsmith, who's a renowned executive coach, wrote a book about 17 years ago called What Got You Here Doesn't Get You There. And the way I say it is, what got you here doesn't get you where you want to go. And essentially, the strategies that work for us early in our career are not the same ones that get us past mid or senior management to the executive suite. And I think it's understanding and recognizing that this pathway that I've been on really since school that has worked so well for me, it isn't it anymore. I need different tools. And what are those tools, right? It's understanding that you need different types of experiences in parts of the business that you're in that make a difference, not just staying in like marketing or HR or enablement functions, but being in the core of the business. It's being able to think more strategically about your work and the work of the business. It's having the right networks of people within your organization and out, specifically about having a sponsor, a career sponsor. And so it's really this shift in, I've been doing these things and now I have to do a different set of things to break through.
Anderson talks next about the challenges when women leave the workplace, losing that network, those sponsors.
I am loath to say this, but it is the truth, and I still see it literally every day talking to clients. There is still a double standard for women, you know, where a man without certain experiences is seen as having potential to do the job, but a woman without those experiences is seen as not ready. I think that's the biggest one. And this need to show me again that you are capable, you know, prove it to me again, again, again. And it's like, darn, how many ways can I show you? I think those are the two biggest ones I see. But this notion of sponsor is critical. I think if you would ask me to say, what's the one thing that makes the biggest difference for women, I would say it's this. I would say it's probably the one thing that makes a difference for everyone, but in particular for women, because men have more sponsors today than women do. So a mentor is someone who gives you advice, right? So I could say to you, hey, you know, why don't you try this in your role? And that's great. But a sponsor is someone who has power and influence in your organization, in your field, to open doors for you or champion you. The mentor advises you and the sponsor advocates for you. One is a private role and one is like a public role. And we know through the data that executives, when they're asked, 70% of them report that they sponsor people like themselves. And if most leaders are still men, then we know men are getting more sponsorship than women. And so it's not that you're not doing the work, but you also have this other influential person advocating on your behalf. And it's those two things make a big difference.
Anderson is particularly outspoken about the importance of being an inclusive leader and how being demonstrative in that regard can advance progress, as she explains.
I wrote a book called We, Men, Women, and the Decisive Formula for Winning at Work. And it's really about how do we change the mindset of leaders, right? You know, career advice in the past was all about what women should do. You know, the whole lean in movement, be more confident, be more assertive, negotiate more. You know, they're always telling you what you should do. But we also have to change the system and we have to change the people that we work for, right? And that's really been the basis of my work. And I call it, you know, being an inclusive leader, understanding that you have to be a different type of leader in today's world, and that you have to understand that the system isn't really set up for everyone to succeed. And so how do you change the system? I'll give you a very specific example that's based on a lot of studies. For example, we know that if there's a job posted, if a man sees that posting and he meets 50 to 60% of the qualifications, he will apply. But if a woman sees that posting and she doesn't meet 80 to 90% of the qualifications, she won't apply. So the way we write a posting for a job matters. If we just put in things in the job description that we know we're not going to get, but maybe some miracle, there's some person with all these skills, we are actually closing the funnel, the opportunities. We're discouraging inadvertently women from applying for that job. So looking at your systems, how you write job descriptions, how you do performance reviews, how you do assignments, all of those things really matter. And for me, that's the biggest, you know, how we really can make the change.
Anderson has Palestinian roots. She was born outside the borders there, but traveled a great deal. She moved to the US for her education. As a result, she has a truly global perspective that perhaps confers a depth of understanding about how different the situation is for Western women and those from emerging countries. Anderson, again.
I was born in Jordan. As a family, we moved to a different country every 2 years when I was growing up. My father was in the airline business and his job, just their management philosophy, was essentially to move their leaders to different markets. So I grew up living in many countries and then came to the US and then did 4 years of global research on women in emerging economies, professional women. Culturally, things are so different in these markets that Western career advice doesn't apply. You know, in the US and Europe, the way you promote yourself as an individual at work doesn't work, for example, in Asian markets. It isn't, people don't promote themselves in that way. So telling somebody to do that as a way to get noticed isn't right. If you're a woman in Saudi Arabia and you work for Aramco and you think you deserve a salary increase, you're not going to walk into your boss's office like you would in the UK or Switzerland or an American woman would do and say, hey, boss, you know, I deserve this. You know, I've done blah, 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 blah. You're going to have a very different conversation about the team and, you know, how things are working. It's very different. But the actions you're taking, you still want to talk to your boss about your compensation. You still need to build a network, but you're not going to go to coffee with some guy and sit in a, you know, in a coffee shop, right? If you're in India, for example, or in some market. So it's taking and figuring out, and this is really the key point that I should have made at the beginning. Women in these markets are succeeding, and we don't talk and study about that enough. We look at all the obstacles and the hardships, right?
The critical importance of cultural context and deeply engaging with and studying that is a theme that Anderson frequently returns to.
What I like to do is to study how are people succeeding, because hundreds of millions of women in these markets have executive roles. So what did they do? And how do we emulate and understand that and provide that information more broadly, right? Disseminate it more broadly so women can know what are the culturally nuanced things they can do in their own country. In business everywhere, if you don't understand the cultural context first, you can't problem solve. You can't advance yourself. You can't do strategy. You can't do business. You can't develop relationships. So, you know, I feel like my life's experiences have taught me how to be really adept at understanding different cultures and then acting, you know, in that context. And then I've been able to take that and, you know, apply it in a lot of different ways.
And that's Rania Anderson, bringing us to the end of this special edition of the show here on Monocle Radio. You can read more and discover the stories of groundbreaking women driving growth and advocating for true equality of opportunity in the winter edition of Confect, Monocle's elegant sister quarterly. Head to confectmagazine.com to subscribe now. To learn more about how Nobel perspectives shape the UBS worldview and to find out how the bank fosters economic equality and can help you, head to ubs.com and search Nobel Perspectives. If you want to listen again or find out more about Monocle, head to monocle.com. This is The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle Radio. I'm Tom Edwards. Thanks for listening.